Ricky Buckhill. With ease, Miguel Aziz's first goal for Portsmouth.
Into the path of Smith-Rowe, into the box, Smith-Rowe scores! A really deserved first goal in Huddersfield Town colours.
On the back of what was a hard-fought 1-0 win over Brentford against a devastating low block, we come to you with Away From Hell End to do a player profile on somebody who I think, and I know, could be the key to unlocking low blocks in the future for Mikel Arteta, and that is Michal Roziak. I'm sure he's a player many of you have heard of. I'm sure many of you have seen his immense free kick talents, but don't really know much about the player himself. And it goes a lot further than the free kicks, although the free kicks are pretty spectacular themselves. Michal Roziak is the man to unlock low blocks with just simply one touch of the ball. He is a match-winning player, and it's honestly only because of his recent position change and his ability to be more effective from that right-back spot. At 18 years old, Michal Roziak is one of the key parts of Haaland at the moment. He grew up playing as a midfielder, and recently was switched to that inverted right-back role. Most recently, when Mehmet Ali was in charge, he got more time in that position. He was born in Bialogard, Poland, and moved to England in 2016 when he was 10 years old. His earliest memory of playing football is playing with his dad and friends, scoring goals on the pitch at the local stadium that the home team played on. It was, you know, not the size of Arsenal's club, so the stadium was just open all the time. They could go on and kick the ball on the pitch that they saw the professionals playing on the weekend. He, however, did grow up supporting Arsenal in Poland, and at age 7, he started playing for a very small Polish team called Gliwice Tychowo, which I'm sure I'm saying wrong, in the northwest of Poland, which is where his hometown is. 3 years later, that is when they moved, him and his family moved to London. He was playing in a tournament with his school in London at Cobham, actually, Chelsea's training ground, of course, when an Arsenal scout saw him. That Arsenal scout then called his family later that day, and the rest is history. He showed up to Hale End. He made his debut for the under-11s and has a very funny story in which the kit man actually forgot the Arsenal players' kits. And so Michal Roziak, as Arsenal under-11s were playing West Brom, played his first match for Arsenal in a retro West Brom yellow and white kit that, you know, that's a story he'll never forget, playing for Arsenal for the first time but not even getting to wear the kit. He says his proudest achievements to date are playing with the under-16s as a 14-year-old and then, of course, earning an early scholarship. Roziak then signed his first professional contract in April of 2023. Versatility is one of the main reasons Roziak has rose so quickly through the ranks, and it's something he spoke about upon signing his contract. Quote, "I prefer to be a midfielder, but if it's an inverted fullback, I can do that. I've been practicing free kicks quite a lot. I'm trying to master the technique to score more goals from set pieces." Mastering this technique is going very well for Michal Roziak, who has scored countless free kicks and delivered so many deadly crosses from these dead ball situations. He has scored 10 goals and provided 9 assists since the start of last season when he became a regular with the under-18s and now the under-21s. His ball striking is just simply next level. He can smash it hard into the top corner or curl it around defenders. He can drop it on a spot anywhere he wants in the box, and he's excellent at finding that spot that leaves defenders backpedaling and not sure of their surroundings and goalkeepers unsure of if they should come out and claim the ball. His goal-scoring technique from free kicks is just spectacular. He can go near post, he can go far post. We've seen it all with Michal Roziak, and the distance isn't unlimited because he's not going to hit the ball knuckling the way Ronaldo did back in the day, but he seems to be able to surprise goalkeepers and route them to the spot, even when going just kind of over their head and to their near post. He's an outstanding talent who started as a deep-lying midfielder, a dual winner, with an excellent passing range, a role he still plays for his national team, most recently with Poland under-19s. He is great in that role, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he has the body shape and defensive positioning, quite often, of a defensive midfielder. As a midfielder, he knows how to defend 1v1s like a true number 6. He shapes his body where he wants the attacker to go, using his precise timing and intelligence to poke the ball away without the chance of an attacker going by him. Rarely do you see an attacker just dribble around Mikhail Roziak. And this defensive stability, along with his insane passing range and deadly crossing, is what forced the Arsenal Helland coaches, Wilshere, Mehmet Ali, and others, to see Mikhail Roziak as this inverted right back that we now watch him play week in and week out. While at right back, Roziak has found so much freedom, green grass to sprint into and space to play and display his deadly final actions. When Mikhail Roziak is operating in the right half spaces, that is when he is at his best. And that doesn't just mean when he's on the ball. He also really knows that it doesn't always require an overlapping run for his right winger. Sometimes he's allowing his right winger to have space, to not draw extra defenders. Oftentimes we're talking about a Mario Cozy or Dewberry in that space. And Mikhail Roziak is happy to play a little bit further back. He's happy to just wait for that ball to come to him and with one fell swoop of his right leg, play that deadly ball into the box that turns into a goal. It turns into a scoring opportunity. It turns into a corner kick. It turns into any number of things. He also is an incredibly smart player. He knows how to drag defenders out. He knows when to run into space with the ball. And as he likes to say, he's learned from Emile Smith Rowe on how to accelerate and drive past players in midfield. Mikhail Roziak's not necessarily going to be the fastest player on the pitch, but he knows how to use a burst and he knows how to use body manipulation and ball manipulation to create open spaces for himself to then play the ball into the box or to then get a shot away. And he's not scared to use that left foot either. As I mentioned, he makes intelligent runs. He decides if the opportunity calls for an overlap. If it does, he will make that run and play the cross from much further into the pitch than he's used to. But more often than not, he's happy to operate in the right half space and swing balls in. Mikhail Roziak is the perfect profile to complement Ben White as a right back alternative. He is still learning how to use that running power and dictate games the way a Zinchenko or a Timber can. He's not quite at that level, but he has something neither of them can do, and he can change score lines with that right foot so simply. He is the Haaland Trent Alexander-Arnold, a midfielder turned right back who has a ball striking ability that is natural. It's not something that's taught. It's a certain whip. It's a certain pace. It's a certain desire to find the most dangerous area for the ball that not every player has. And you often see this from guys who are deadly from set pieces, and Mikhail Roziak is just that. And I really hope we get to see him play with the first team sooner rather than later. He would have been the perfect player for that Brentford match. Think about the amount of opportunities that Tomiyasu found himself in space, and not to his fault. This isn't his forte, and we wouldn't ask him to do this, but teams are doubling, tripling Bukayo Saka, and he's playing that pass back to Tomiyasu in that right half space. And so many times Tomiyasu just has to recycle player, go back to Saka or find Odegaard in a little pocket of space. When Mikhail Roziak, that ball Saka played at the end of the match, that's Roziak's ball. He can play that on command whenever he wants. We talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold in this way all the time, and Mikhail Roziak has those same abilities. And honestly, he's a great defender too, and I'm very excited. I think he has leaped Brooke Norton-Cuffey in the right back pecking order at Hale End. And I wouldn't be surprised if he makes his debut for the first team sometime in the year 2024. So that's Mikhail Roziak. Very excited about him. I've kind of been waiting for the right time to talk about him because I think you don't want to overhype players, as we know. And I get a lot of comments about that. But watching that Brentford game, it was just screaming to me that this is what Mikhail Roziak is for. This is why he is going to be such an immense player for Arsenal. And honestly, in the last 18 months, it just shows you how the trajectory of a player can change. When he was 14, 15, yes, he was playing above his age group, and that's because he really has incredible technique, and it's so rare to have a profile who can play as a deep-lying midfielder, who can spray the ball, who is athletic enough to cover space. He has all the things that kind of help you progress through the age groups no matter what, and don't necessarily always translate, but what we've seen since he's moved to that right back position, it just screams Mikel Arteta right back. It just screams a player who can step into the Arsenal first team without really having any issues. Like, there isn't any glaring issues that you'll see. Like, even Ruud Walters, we spoke about last week, there are some glaring issues where he could step into Arsenal's first team and make a few positional mistakes that are shocking. I haven't seen that from Roziak. But anyways, on to one of the main reasons a lot of you are here, the recaps on our lone players, and it's been kind of another light week. Charlie Patino did not feature in the 2-2 draw with Hull City. He is back from suspension, but just didn't get on the pitch. And I forgot to mention, he did play the final 7 minutes in the 3-0 win over Northern Ireland for Arsenal, for England's under-21s. Brook Norton-Cuffey also played the second half of that under-21 3-0 win for England. He played at right back, coming on for Livramento. Actually played a little bit more in that inverted role than what we're seeing him do at Millwall. We saw him do a little bit of this over the last year or so. Really isn't Brook Norton-Cuffey's strong suit, and I think trying to force him there kind of limits his excellence. But nonetheless, he got the opportunity to play for England's under-21s and more often in that inverted role. He then played on the weekend. He played the full 90 in a 3-0 loss to Coventry City. He actually was really good in this game against his old club. The confidence has really reached new heights. Like, he's being very specific with his passing selection. He's making the correct passes. And by confidence, I don't mean he's just bombing it down the wing. I mean, Brook Norton-Cuffey's making the right decisions. He's keeping possession. He's recycling play when he has to, which has been an issue for him. But at the same time, he's also driving into the box. He is creating scoring chances for his team. He is taking one or two defenders out of play when he makes these decisive actions. And his defensive acumen has gotten, you know, much better, and he's winning duels at a much higher rate. He was 55 of 61 passing in this match. He made two key passes, successful dribbles on 3 out of 4 attempts, and he won 6 of 11 ground duels. Overall, solid match for him, although Millwall were dominated. They lost 3-0 a lot in transition because they were actually creating a decent amount and then getting beaten in transition. Arthur Okonkwo continues to be excellent for Wrexham. Back to their winning ways, clean sheet in a 6-0 win over Morecambe. 2 saves, both on shots from inside the box. Okonkwo faced 0.83 XG on target, which is actually a fair amount, and you'll see why with these highlights. He made a great save on a header from inside the 6-yard box. You know, it wasn't the most comfortable save, but he was able to smother it, not give up a goal, and just be in the right position. And then, again, of kind of a similar situation where it was a 1v1 sort of on a ball over the top, and the save wasn't super comfortable. Like, it didn't look all that convincing, but at the same time, he's in the right place. He's able to snuff out the danger and, you know, stop any scoring chances. He's not getting his hands to the ball and it's slipping out. He's getting on top of it. He's in the right places. These are good steps for Arthur Okonkwo. Mika Bierith did not have his best match. But to be honest, Motherwell played Celtic and had 19% possession. That's what it's like in the Scottish Premiership when you play Celtic. If you remember last year when Ryan Alabioso was at Kilmarnock, I believe they had 18% possession. So Mika Bierith didn't really get involved. 4 of 10 passing. He just had one touch in the opponent's box, but only won 4 out of 10 duels. Very frustrating match for Mika Bierith in 78 minutes of action. However, Motherwell did eke out a 1-1 draw, which is a massive result for them, and the confidence will actually be high for them going into their next match. So expect Bierith to continue to be up top for them. Tyrese Jean-Jules returned to the bench. Huge news. Back into training the last few weeks, finally returned to the bench. Didn't get on for Derby this weekend, but we hope to see him in action again soon. Alex Kirk and Keto Taylor-Hart. Kirk is currently not making the Bromley squad. There's no definite reason for this. I do believe it's injury related. He's had injury problems over the last 2 years, and he's definitely plenty good to get into this Bromley side. He was spectacular last year on loan. And Keto Taylor-Hart on the bench again, but did not feature. Omar Rekik played the full 90 against Leyton Orient in a 1-1 draw, this time playing kind of in a right center back role in a back five. 41 of 51 passing, one key pass. He both successful dribbles on 2 of 2 on attempts, and he won 8 out of his 12 duels. Here's the issue, though. All these numbers are fine, and that's good. He's an excellent passer. We know that. He's very strong on the ball. We know that. The issue is he's still getting dragged out of position so easily. And there's only been two, because he's played all across the back line in the last year for Wigan. He's played left back in a back four. He's played left wing back in a back five. He's played left center back in a back five. He's played left center back in a back four. He's played center back in a back five. He's played right center back in a back four and a back five. And he's played right back. He's played everywhere, and he has that versatility. And I think it's similar to kind of what we talk about with Ruel Walters, where he's unable to find consistency because he's playing in so many different positions and his body orientation kind of gets all screwed up all the time. His head is spinning around. He's losing track of runners. He kind of looks like a headless chicken. The only place I've seen this not be the case is when he's at left center back in a back four or a back five, either one. He seems to be much more comfortable there with his body orientation. I actually think he's similar to Tomiyasu, not in the way, like in specific skill set, like that Tomiyasu is a great defender and Rekik is not, but in the fact that like everyone likes to call these players two-footed players, but if you watch them, like they have the ability with both feet, but the confidence is so much better with one. And I think Omar Rekik is so confident with his left foot that his body orientation, when he tries to tackle with his right foot, kind of gets him all turned around. And I think Tomiyasu is the same way. Like, you don't see Tomiyasu often play right center back for club or country. He plays right back, left back, and left center back more often than not. Those are kind of his positions. I think that Rekik is similar in that he's comfortable at right back and he's comfortable at left center back. Those are the positions where I think he's best. He doesn't get too eager. He doesn't look uncomfortable. He looks confident. He looks composed. But this was not one of those matches for Omar Rekik. Salu Ulad Emhand did not make the squad for FC Den Bosch. He came off at half in the previous match, so I'm wondering if this might be another injury or they're just being overly cautious because of the injury history he's had in the past 18 months. Nathan Butler Oyedehi was on the bench but did not feature for Cheltenham. Mauro Bandiera is still not fit enough to make the squad. We think he's almost back, but I also wonder if there's a potential recall happening in January. Henry Jeffcott with the Derby under 21 side, they did not have a match. They haven't had a match since November 5th. I'm not really sure how the scheduling works like that, but that's the situation. Catalan Sirjan played 3 minutes in the 3-2 loss to Universitate Cluj. Not by Romanians, obviously not great. And then Billy Vigar. He's been excellent, honestly, for Eastbourne Borough. He doesn't get a lot of talk, and he's not a player who's going to feature for Arsenal's first team at any point. But he's had an excellent little loan spell. He's playing week in and week out. He's creating a lot of chances for Eastbourne Borough. And in this 1-0 loss, he actually did the same. He drew a yellow card with some neat footwork down the right-hand side in the 8th minute. He nearly scored in the 37th minute, but the keeper made a nice save. Again, nearly scored in the 56th minute on a looping header, which is kind of becoming his trademark, coming in late to the box, flying in and a looping header. But the keeper tipped this one over the bar. And then he almost had a great assist in the 77th minute on a through ball that his teammate couldn't quite finish off with the goalkeeper. But Billy Vigar is not going anywhere from this Eastbourne Borough squad. He is staying fit. He is staying in the side and he's playing 90 minutes week in and week out, maybe multiple times a week at times. So good for Billy. Glad to see him get some experience. And remember, the loan spells are for the club, but they're also for the player. And if Billy Vigar can make a career in professional football because of this great loan spell at Eastbourne Borough, then that's power to him. That's great for Hale End. That's great for him. And we'd love to see it. That's all we've got for you this week on Away From Hale End. A little bit of a quicker episode. Really excited about Michal Roziak. Really, really excited about him. I really think he's such a unique player. And he has talents that you can't teach and kind of an innate intelligence that you can't teach about placement, both crossing and finishing. Those things are key to become a supreme player. So we're going to keep an eye on Roziak. We're going to keep an eye on all these players. Two match weeks here for a lot of our players. So next week should be a much busier episode. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, those who celebrate and those who didn't. It's another episode of Away From Hale End, and we will be back next week.